Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two home run hitters. Milan Yurkovich, Dr. John Townsend. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you or you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk. And do so many crummy things and make so many, and they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I am really good today. And Dr. John Townsend, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. Hi, everybody.
Although, I got to tell you, that November is done. That's just kind of shocking to me. This is the last day of November.
Well, I don't know where the whole year went. I mean, I feel like I blinked my eyes and the year's gone. Yeah. It's just been one of those fast years. But
well, you've had a great year, Milan. You and Kay have really done well, and your ministry has kind of exploded here over How We Love. And then, John, same with you this past year, your leadership training that you do in Dallas, Indianapolis, and Southern California. That's really taken off, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. People seem to want to know that their performance and their character are related, which is, you know, kind of what the Bible teaches us.
You guys have really had a great year. And, well, for me, I wrote a poem. So, anyway,
well, that's not true. Now, look.
I'm just
You
I'm
had,
just
what, seven books released this year?
Yeah, that's the author's
Hello?
Nightmare.
I want to hear the poem myself.
Oh, I'm going to do it for Christmas. It's the 12 Days of Christmas. You know, poor avoidance, avoiding kind of stuff, you know. And you'll hear it probably more than you want to.
Anyway. Nine people with aluminum foil on their head keeping the right. Martian rays away.
Yeah. How did you know? Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Anyway, we're glad if you are listening for the first time, for whatever reason, hey, where you been? We're glad that you're listening to us and want you to know what we try to do here. What we try to do is provide answers that are consistent with the Bible. That doesn't mean that we will quote a scripture at every answer, but we will use a biblical principle, and sometimes we do quote scripture. Why don't we quote a scripture at every answer, John? Milan, why is that?
I think there's a word in the scripture that's overlooked so much, and it's word wisdom.
Yes.
And wisdom is a combination of experience, biblical principles, and time. And so when we're lacking knowledge about what to do about something like trials, James chapter 1, what does the Bible say? It says, pray, and God will give you wisdom. So wisdom somehow has to be an element that has more than just a verse and chapter associated with it. It has a discernment and has a knowledge base. John, what would you say or add to that?
Yeah, I think the thing I would add would be, I think we could have a Bible verse with every question. I do. But that Bible verse might be, what's the most thing that brings healing or love mm-hmm. or truth or honesty or deals with vulnerability? Sometimes you have to go to higher principles that Jesus talked about, but the Bible really answers it all. Even like Milan said, though, sometimes it's from a higher level, a 50,000-foot level, as opposed to a specific thing. But I think we're all over the Bible. I think I would stand our show up to any other Christian program in terms of Bible use.
And we often hear of misuse of Scripture, and we certainly don't want to ever be guilty of that. All right, we'll take this break. We'll come back with your phone calls. Glad you're with us today on New Life.
At At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. John Townsend. And let's go to Matthew from Santa Monica, California. KKLA is the station. And I will... Oh, yeah, never mind. It's passed. Okay, yes. Hello, Matthew. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, good. Thanks for calling us. We're glad you did. How could we help you today?
Okay, well, I'll give you guys a little background first. About 4 years ago, before I really became a Christian, I worked at a video game store. They had deals going all the time. One was a buy two, get one free. I took advantage of this in what I believe was an immoral way by buying two, getting one free, and then coming back and returning the two that I paid for and keeping the one I didn't.
Okay.
I don't know how many times I've done this, and this was something any customer could do, but I know that the company probably felt the financial impact or the financial loss, and they probably don't know how or who. And I'm wondering, should I make restitution? And if so, how do I go about doing that?
You know, it just so happens that Steve has a story.
You have a fellow thief on the line.
It's kind of like this.
Yeah, it really is. When I worked at a clothing store, and I've told this many times, written about it many times, but I was their best salesman, and I wasn't making enough money, so I compensated myself so that they could keep their best salesman on. That's the justification I made, and so I took some clothes. Well, I made a 180-degree turn in my life. I've made that same 180-degree turn about 17 times. But anyway, this was a for real going the other direction. And so I called everybody that I knew that I had hurt, and I made amends. And where I could, I made restitution. And I didn't make restitution for a person that I worked for, that person I had stolen from. And I thought, you know, that's no big deal. That I'll just let that go. That was a long time ago. And you know, I found myself saying to myself, you know, if that wasn't such a big deal, why do you think about that so much? So I calculated that I probably stole about $1,000 worth, and I figured up the interest rate on that $1,000, and I figured that over time, this was some years later, and interest rates had been at 15% for a mortgage, I figured that I owed $6,000. So I found the address. I wrote the guy, told him what I had done, kind of hinted that if he wanted to tear up the check and send it back, that would be all right with me. I'd still feel real good about making restitution. But he didn't. I got a note from him about a week later that said, when you own things and run things, people want stuff from you all the time. And he said, I have been badgered and badgered, and all of a sudden, in the midst of just wanting to give up on people, your letter comes, you giving back something to me. He said, I will never be the same. So my advice to you is you find the money, you figure it up, how much you think it's worth. And it doesn't have to be exact, you know, and that you make that financial restitution. I think you'll be grateful for the rest of your life that you did.
Now, it wasn't like a mom-and-pop kind of store. This was like a company.
Yeah,
like,
companies.
Let me understand that. I want to understand the thinking there. I hear that a lot, Matthew. So a larger company shouldn't be recompensed then for some reason?
No. Oh, no, they should. I just don't know who to contact. There's no one manager that I defrauded. You know, I, like, defrauded the whole company.
Go
to the highest guy?
No. Just go to HR. They have systems for this kind of thing.
So just go to headquarters and tell them.
HR, human resources.
Oh, human resources.
Yeah.
Do you still work for them?
No, I don't.
Well, another thing is you go online, and you find out who is the president, and the address of the corporate office, and you write a check and you send it to the president of the company. Say you're sorry.
Oh, okay.
Tell them what you did, so maybe that'll help them prevent it from happening with other employees. And here's my check to pay you back.
You know what I think is cool in all this, Matthew, is this tells me how real your faith is.
Absolutely, yeah.
See, because the decision you made 4 years ago to receive Christ, I can tell it's a viable, live faith. And that the Holy Spirit is inside of you working, that you have this conscience and you want to do something that's right. And I just want to congratulate you on this phone call. I just think that's a fabulous phone call for us. And even if it takes time to pay it off, I mean, the very fact, I think it's an inspiring story. Thousands have been inspired by Steve's story. That's why I asked him to share it. And I think others will be inspired by yours.
I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
If you don't mind. What if they find out, like, I tell them what happened, what if that's not enough for them?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, it's the risk that you take in doing the next right thing.
That's what I thought. So, like, if they want me to go to jail to pay for it, then that's what I got to do?
Well, I think... You know,
I don't think it'll go that far.
No, I don't either, but I think to say, well, I'm not going to do it because they might punish me, I think is kind of missing the whole faith point.
Well, how about this, guys? There's a faith point, and then there's a stewardship point of your own life as well.
Oh, good point, John.
What about this? Why don't you find an attorney?
Oh, yep.
And say... I want to make good, but at the same time, are they going to slap me with a felony charge and help me here? And the attorney's job is to counsel you on the best way to do that so that, you know, everybody's righted and nobody's wronged.
And I would say this, too. If you're really worried about it, you still get credit for making restitution, sending an anonymous letter with a money order in it that doesn't have your name on it.
You'd get credit on this show.
Yeah, we'd give you credit for that if you did that.
But the other thing to do is to call, in addition to what John and Steve just said, is call HR, but don't give them your name. Just say, hey, I need to talk to somebody and ask your opinion about this. And, you know, a call from a payphone or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And just call from a line that can't be, you know, traced back and just say, what can I do here? And my fear is that this could happen. And just ask them what they would recommend doing. Information is power to have wisdom to make decisions.
All right. I'm glad you called, Matthew. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls. Hope that it's helpful to you. Let's go to Paul from Springfield, Missouri. Listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. He's one of our trucker listeners, and we're so glad you do listen. How can we help you, Paul?
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you and your ministry there. I think you do a world of good for a lot of people.
Thank you.
My question is jealousy issues. I'll go back on a background. I've been married for just over a year in the courtship. I met her in church. She's 13 years younger than me. I met her in church. Good Christian foundation. her dad was used to be an evangelist. She grew up strong in the faith. There was a breakdown when she was 13, which led her astray. Her mom and dad separated. They never got divorced. They both started living opposite of what they want or what they, she was raised at. And, she was married, was abused by her ex-husband, and he was a very jealous person, extremely jealous person. And then she divorced him. Just kind of as a background with her, I've been married twice. I grew up in church. I backslid when my dad died. I was 16. Got married. She cheated on me, got divorced. I divorced her. I couldn't handle it no more. My second wife is when I found that I wasn't living a Christian life, and I turned my life around and started going to church, and she divorced me, said she wouldn't be caught dead in church. I was giving all my money to church, and she walked away out of anger.
Okay, so so what's the situation today with your wife?
The situation today is it's 100% almost all jealousy. We got married in the courtship. Everything was fine. We knew each other's past. The day after we got married, okay, before we got married, everything was great. The day after we got married, she hit me with, is it too late for an annulment? Basically bringing up my past and mad about it. We've been fighting. We fight 2-3 times a week, every week. I think we've had 2 full weeks where we did not fight. And other than that, it's a fight, and it's usually I'm on defensive about trying to explain why I've done this or because I drive a truck, you know. And she used, before we got married, she'd call me. We'd talk 20 times a day after we got married. Sometimes I go all day, and she will not call me back.
Okay.
If I don't call her, she gets mad thinking
sure.
I'm doing something.
All right, so what's the question for us?
How do I deal with the jealousy? I mean, she's got me down the point now where I go home, I sit in the bedroom, I don't leave the bedroom, we don't watch TV because she thinks I'm watching TV for women. We don't go to church. She quit going to church right after we got married. Totally stopped. I was still going to church. That was just a big fight constantly. And she'd start doing things to keep me from going to church. And everything I do, I drive a truck, I haul cars, I own my own business. I haul cars Arizona to Michigan, back and forth. And if I have a female customer, I mean, she totally freaks out about it.
Okay, what's the question for us then? How can we help you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to go about with her, but I'm not doing nothing. And, I mean, the jealousy issue is so strong over everything. And, she brings up my past.
Okay.
Way,
well, let's see if the guys have something.
Yeah, Paul, can you phrase this in terms of a question?
That's what I'm trying to do. because there's so much to it, the leading it to it.
Steve always says, start with how or why or what, and that will lead us to a question that we can help you with.
Hopefully.
Okay. Like I said, she's always...
Well, no.
Okay, now, you didn't,
how,
Paul.
That's
not a question. That's a story. We have lots of information. So how or what or why, and then we'll help.
Okay, how would I get her to know that I'm not doing nothing? I'm not doing nothing out here on the road. I'm trying to make a living.
How can I reassure her that I love her and I'm faithful?
Exactly.
That's the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what do you think?
Well, jealousy is basically rooted in a couple of things. It's rooted in some sort of an inability to feel secure in someone's love, and it's rooted in control. And so when we feel like when that person is only faithful to us when they're in the house with us or in the room with us, and then when they go around the corner, they're going to do or think bad things that aren't faithful, then we try to control them and, you know, try to want to make them change and that sort of thing. And it's a horrible, horrible feeling. And it's a horrible problem. And the thing I'm concerned about is that you guys don't talk, you mm-hmm. argue, because you're going to have what I call a redemptive conversation, Paul. And the elements of it are, Mary, I want to hear you out. I'm not going to be defensive or anything, but I want to hear you out over how scared you are. Because she's mad, and jealous people who are mad have got to get to the vulnerable little girl. The part that says, I've been cheated on before, or I had a parent that wasn't very kind to me, or wasn't very consistent with me, or I had a parent that was unfaithful. But your goal as a husband who loves Mary is going to be to get her from anger and suspicion to, I want to understand the fear. That's what we're going to help with on the other side of the break. When you get to the fear, you're 75% there.
Okay. More evidence. Don't eat the wedding cake. Things change once you eat that wedding cake.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Paul got married, and things changed quickly. His wife is extremely jealous, and he's asking, what can I do to reassure her? I don't know about you guys, but I think the advice that John gave, to listen to her, to not respond or react, it would be better said, not to react to her. I think that's...
Hey, let's try something, because it's really hard to say that on a show and the people not see it. So Steve, you be... Paul, you still with us, right?
Yeah.
All right. Steve's going to be Mary, and you, Mary, and Steve, you just be really jealous of me driving around with female customers, and I'll just try to do this part. We'll take 30 seconds.
Where have you been?
I just got back from Arizona, sweetheart. How's it been going?
Well, I thought you'd be back about 4 hours sooner.
I know. I'm sorry. You know what? And I didn't call you in time. I'll do that from now on. I'm sorry. I know that's hard for you.
Did you see anybody?
Yeah, remember I saw Mrs. Jones, that big account that we've got with the shipping industry.
Did you take her to lunch?
Yeah, we had a lunch. In fact, we've got some good business coming from. I'm really excited about it. I want to tell you all about it.
What else happened?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, I hate you being with her. And I just want to know what else happened. Why would you go with her?
No, nothing else happened. And you know, I've been thinking about it. I'm a trucker, and that's hard. And you know what I think it might be helpful? Because I love you, and I hate the fights. I would just like to know all the fears, and I know what it's like for you. And I'm not going to make excuses or anything or tell you that you're overreacting. I want to hear it all, and I want to be okay with it. Tell me what it's like when I'm gone.
Okay, I'm real afraid.
Of?
I'm going to be alone.
And I won't be for you or thinking about you or faithful to you or
right.
wondering about you when I'm at lunch with Mrs. Smith?
Right.
Okay. Well, here's what I can tell you. I don't have those feelings at all or those thoughts at all, and I miss you terribly. And if it would help for me to call you right before I have lunch with her and right after I have lunch and maybe even put her on the phone, I'll do anything so you'll feel secure.
Okay.
Okay. Paul, does that give you a flavor for this? I mean, every situation's, you know, different. Does that give you a flavor?
Yeah, and I've done that. We have sat down and talked about it, but then she'll go in to accuse him, period. She says no man should talk to any woman, period. That's what I get.
I think in some of the
never,
in some of the never, Arab countries, that is the way they run that thing, I think. Isn't it?
Isn't yeah, it? Yeah, in Arab countries. But, yeah. Paul, your wife is really frightened. So when people make extreme statements, obviously that can't happen on a practical, realistic level. And whether Paul has lunch with Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Smith, either one, you know, it's I've got to be able to have the freedom to know that you trust me, because I have to talk to females every day. People that I walk into the dealerships, everywhere I go, there's females, and you're gonna. But somewhere along the line, honey, you've been very frightened by this whole thing. You've had people, your mom and dad, you've had people betray you. I could see why you'd be afraid, and then. Let's work on that fear, because it's really not. If I let you control me, it's the question we have to ask, Paul, is do we let people's phobias and fears control us?
Right.
And the answer, that's not loving, to let, you know, somebody's fears and phobias control
us. Yeah, you don't let someone else's character issues take your life hostage.
Right.
Well,
that doesn't help anybody.
And you're a living example of why that is. It just absolutely kills the relationship.
Right. So if you're married to somebody that is obsessive compulsive and they require that you straighten the rug out a certain way every day, and you must do that, otherwise there will be a problem. Am I going to fix that rug every day? Am I going to be bound to their obsession
right.
or bound to their fear or bound to their phobia? And the answer is no. And to say this is what it is, you need to call it a phobia or a fear or a reaction based upon a hurt. And we need to do something about it, because this isn't going to work for the next 20 years.
Yeah. Mine's right, Paul. Love requires getting out of your comfort zone. And anybody that loves their spouse will say, I'll do stuff that's not comfortable for your benefit. So if it means more calls or rerouting so that I'm around more or whatever, I will totally get out of my comfort zone. But I will not compromise my career because you're insecure. And so, Mary, your work is to work on the fear. And my work is to be as loving and available as possible. That's
the
answer.
That's what I've been trying to do. And like I said, for 13, 14 months now, it's got me down to a corner in the bedroom. And actually, I can't even be in our bedroom. She wanted a puppy, and I bought her a puppy. And it was a male puppy. And, of course, when puppies grow up, they get, they start, you know, getting sexual. They're a dog. And the dog was playing with his toy. I got it for like 2 hours about why I trained that dog how to do that. And I
right.
said, it's a dog. They do that.
Okay, listen,
Paul,
to us
we're kind of getting lost in the weeds here. I want to make you think about principles instead of like specific activities, because she'll do all kinds of in runs and you'll be just chasing her around trying to figure the next thing to say. The principle is this. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone. I want you to get help. If you get help, great. If we get help, great. If you don't insist, if you can't look at any of this as you, then I will love you. I'll make sure I'm in 2 or 3 support groups a week to tolerate our relationship. I'll sacrifice for you, but I've got to stay healthy. When a person has no interest, what we call the observing ego in psychology, of looking at themselves, you love them and you extend yourself to them, but you've got to get grace from other places to stay with them until they change. I'm going to send you a copy of Who's Pushing Your Buttons, and it has principles on this. Mm-hmm. Think principle right now.
And How We Love. Let me send that to
That's
you.
That's a great
also.
Book.
All right. We'll take a break, and we'll come back for more of New Life Live. We've got an interview with Becky Brown coming up. I think you'll enjoy hearing from her. We'll be back. More New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterman here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. John Townsend. And right now we're going to go to Becky Brown. Becky, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thanks for all the work that you've done with all of the new folks signing up for Club New Life. Now, in January, we've got Healing is a Choice coming up, and I wanted you to just share a little bit, and maybe Mylon, he's run groups there, about what makes these things so powerful.
Well, you know, the one example I give so many times is, you know, a lot of people will do counseling, and you go into a counseling session out of your busy life, and you spend the next 50 minutes, maybe an hour, and then you go back to your busy life. And what the weekend offers is a time to just stop all of that busyness and really get down to what is the issue, and to learn what it's like to connect in a group and to just takes, you know, a step forward. And I think what a great opportunity having it in January, so that 2012 can be the beginning of a new life for anybody who comes.
Oh, it really can be, and it doesn't matter. We have special groups that, you know, you're going to get your need met, whether it's anxiety or depression or tremendous fear. We've got a group. And we hope and pray that you will come. Mylon, any comment or question for Becky?
Hey, Becky Brown. Mylon here.
Hi, Mylon.
Hey, how are you? I love saying your name together, Becky Brown. I love
Becky
that.
Brown.
Becky Brown. You know, this opportunity to be together for a weekend is what I call an opportunity to experience a shift. First of all, you experience a shift with seeing how supportive a small group of people can be and how much camaraderie can be built in 3 days. That's powerful just in and of itself.
It sure is.
And, you know, God has always existed in community, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, He built us for community. And when we isolate, we don't heal well and we don't manage life well. So this puts us into that position. And then, even though we may not have our problems solved 100%, and the odds are you won't, it gives us a shift, and it creates a new perspective for us to build on. And it's a new starting point. And one of the biggest things I see from people when they walk out of there is they have some element of hope. And so it's a shift toward hope and a way to begin to build out of whatever the problem is they're having. That's my experience, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Shift toward hope. Wouldn't you like that? I mean, we see it all the time, and we see people literally do a 180-degree turn on that weekend. And so if you're interested, you call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website at newlife.com. Becky, anything you want to add before we close out?
Well, I just think it's really important to the listening audience. You know, you hear us talk about all kinds of issues on the radio all the time. And many of them will think, you know what, I would love to know more about that because that applies to me. The Healing is a Choice Weekend is a perfect opportunity for you to really kind of delve into those issues that just kind of get put on a shelf somewhere and sorted out, you know, throughout their life. And as opposed to just, you know, let's get into it and get some resolution, get something started so that their healing can begin.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Becky. And
anyone
interested in Healing is a Choice, go to the website at newlife.com or just call. We'll help you with it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right. Let's go to, how about Cindy from Rockville, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi. How could we help you today?
Thanks for taking the call. First of all, I was waiting for a while, so I wasn't sure that was me when you said my name.
Thank you for waiting, Cindy. We really appreciate it.
To try to make this short and clear,
okay.
I've been married for 19 years. I have a teenage son and a preteen daughter. Unfortunately, my husband is an alcoholic, and I would say in the last 3 years, I'd say 3 years ago is when it hit me that he was getting worse, and that he's not going to be able to stop. He's not going to be able to help himself.
Right. Good. Well, he's right on schedule, you know. That's one of the good things.
That's true.
That's one of the good things about alcoholism is it gets worse, and so at some point, somebody around you starts to think, just like you are, this guy's not going to wake up one morning and say, I've got to do without this thing that my body's craving.
Right.
Okay, so how could we help you? What do you want to do?
Well, I know that I need to do an intervention. I've talked to some interventionists. I'm in Christian counseling. I have many people praying for us.
Good.
I'm trying to do all the things for myself that I need to do to be strong enough, or at least to have God's strength throughout this. I'm doing a step study with Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
So the problem is, you know, I did have a career. I was working. It basically comes down to money right now. We have money. My husband has a good income. He supports the family, but somewhat reluctantly, let's put it that way. He, because I always had an income, too. It was equal to his. It was more than his for a while. Now, then it was equal. Then it was less as I cut back and we had children. Right now, I honestly cannot handle working with everything that's going on with him.
Okay, so what do you want to do, given all the realities of your life?
Okay.
And how could we help you?
Just form a question for us.
Yes. How do I approach him with the fact that we're raising a family together and I need to have equal authority with the finances? Basically, what it comes down to is I need to be able to do an intervention. I can't say this to him. This will not motivate him. And I need to be able to put
Cindy,
it in
reason. Cindy, those are two separate questions. And the reason I'm saying that is because an intervention is not me getting you to sign on to something. That's not a conversation over coffee with a couple talking about finances. An intervention
not.
Is, you know, pretty direct and seven or eight people reading things and crying and talking about it and the bags are packed and, you know, the taxi's outside waiting to take you to rehab. So are you asking us about a conversation you want to have with them about finances or about an intervention?
Really about the, you know, I'm comfortable with intervention. But right now, I don't have the way to pay for it. Let's put it that way.
You couldn't put it on a credit card and then pay for it the following month?
No. Actually, they don't even take a credit card now that I think about it. No.
Okay, I see the struggle then. You have a situation where the one that you're trying to do the intervention on controls all the money, so you can't afford to do what will save his life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's not, we've discussed relapse.
Can you get a loan from a friend?
I've thought about it, but I really don't think I don't know of anyone in that position, let's put it that way.
Hmm.
That I can think of. I may be wrong because I don't know everyone's personal finances.
So then the strategic thing is, how do I have a conversation pre-intervention with him and say, just for the sake of our marriage, I'd like to have access to funds?
Yes.
Well, you know, people do that all the time. They say, I need to go to Dave Ramsey, or I need to go to, what's the one that's so, it's really good, it's a million churches.
Financial freedom.
Okay. And would he go to one of those just about some basic principles of how marriage should work?
No, he wouldn't go to one of those.
Okay.
And
if you said, I'm your wife and I love you and I feel like I don't have any control and I feel helpless, I'd like access to some funds, what would his answer be?
Well, he'd probably have a little bit of a tantrum.
But what would the answer be? I mean, because I hate you and I don't want you to have choices? I mean, what kind of a rationale would a sane husband give?
He would probably say no initially.
Right, but what's the because? We need to hear the root because that he would tell
me. Because he might say, you're irresponsible. We don't have any money.
Do you have a history of irresponsibility?
No, I would say that we are probably opposite when it comes to money. He's extremely fearful, so he tends to hoard and put it all away.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent a lot of money on my daughter's therapy, but he often didn't even want to spend the money on that. So,
well, if you've been empathetic with him, Cindy, and you've really understood and said, you know, there's lots of systems out there. You know, I'm your wife, and we should do something about that. And if he consistently says, I have no interest in you having any kind of, you know, say-so in any of our money, it's probably time to seek an attorney, not for divorce reasons, but an attorney to say there are certain rights that spouses have. And you have to say, I don't want to do that, but would you really force me to do that just so that I can, like, write checks now and then?
I would want a conversation with... It seems like your drinking's getting worse. If you end up getting a driving under the influence, how do I have access to money to help with that process?
Yeah, it all depends on how much reason's in his brain.
Yeah, we'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action.
Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and we're going to talk with Cindy off the air about our treatment program. It's down in Florida. It's amazing. The people there are totally committed Christians. So many folks have found help and healing for somebody that they love. And again, here's an example. You heard about it. The guy's just not going to jump up and say, I'm going to get ready and get sober and be the guy you want me to be. It just doesn't happen that way. They need some pressure to do that.
But that's when we have to decide we're going to do something, regardless of whether they're cooperative or not. As two adults in the world, I don't have to be powerless.
Right.
I have options open to me whether you choose to cooperate or not. And I think that would be the biggest message to Cindy. You know, whether it's calling an attorney, creating a separation, setting boundaries and saying, if this doesn't happen by such and such a date, I'm creating a separation. Whatever you have to do to get a person's attention to say, I'm not going to live like this anymore.
Yeah, and it's not going to go easy. And it's not, one of the reasons that the guy has been drinking for 19 years is that somebody doesn't like confrontation.
Hey, how many people walked away from Jesus in 3.5 years?
A lot.
A lot. That was a great answer. A lot. I mean,
John 6:66.
Yes.
I mean, John, yeah.
And how many people were waiting on the day of Pentecost for the coming of the Holy Spirit? 120 people were sitting in that upper room. Okay, so thousands of people and 120 left. The point is, not everybody does well with truth.
Mm-hmm.
People walk away from it. And ultimately, you know, that is something we have to realize. We can't create unity with every one of these phone calls.
Right. Right. Good point. All right.
That's a really good point. We help them and we give them action plans and we give them things that they can do. And then it gets them out of the learned helplessness of, well, what if they don't change?
Yeah. And you know what really gets me is when we have a caller and we'll say something and everything we say, they say, I've done that. I've tried that. Then do it again and do it differently.
Yeah, yeah. The answer that always is, okay, let's unpack if you've really done it.
Right.
And if you kept doing it, because nobody changes, like Mylon said, from one aha experience. They change because a lot of aha experiences. Did you persevere? And did you own your part? So, yeah, the I've tried that, we really want to help dig deep with that person.
Yeah.
God has lots of answers.
Okay, final caller, but we're going to do another program after this, so hold on. Lynn from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WORD is the station. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi, how can we help you today?
Well, my question is, how do you get your faith and your belief and your hope and your trust back when it seems like on a daily basis, it just everything just keeps going downward?
Okay, so what happened that caused you to start losing hope or faith?
Basically jobs.
Okay.
Jobs, finances. I've been a single parent for 11 years. Hmm. My children's dad doesn't care about them, and they know it. They've had to live with that. And it's just daily basis. My son actually told me at one point, he said, you know, Mom, we have to live in hell before we go to heaven.
Mm.
And I said, no, we're not supposed to be living like this. This just isn't right. It's not normal. I said, people do... They live normal lives. They survive. But he actually believes, and unfortunately, you know, he still lives at home with me because he's underage, and he just sees every day that nothing goes uphill.
In other, okay. The financial part has been getting worse and worse and worse over time, no matter what your efforts?
No matter what.
Okay, and if we solve that part, then you wouldn't feel the faith problem anymore?
Well, with finances, but with people in general, yeah, I've lost a lot of faith there's been so many people. I've hate to say this, but I've gotten rid of a lot of people in my life because I just was tired of putting up with them. I was tired of putting up with them.
So what, Lynn?
To me,
Lynn,
or using
what,
me,
Lynn,
or not,
what,
you know, like.
Lynn, what does your current support system look like? Besides God, who with skin, besides your kids, who with skin is regularly supporting, listening to, encouraging, providing wisdom and advice for you on a structured basis?
Nobody. I used to go to a group, like a Bible study group, if that's what you want to call it, and I kind of voiced my opinion on, like, divorce. And I can't remember what we were studying.
But there was some judgment. Okay, we're going to the show's almost over, but here's the path that I think might help. It's never about just the money. There's always something underneath about aloneness or out of gas or discouraged or nobody gets it. And the other side of that is when we get the right safe people in our lives, then there's somebody who's wise, who might have a network or advice or something like that. But look at the fundamental problem is the broken relationships and the isolation, and then that leads to the financial issue. So I'm going to send you a copy of Beyond Boundaries, which is basically about rebuilding trust, and I want you to start to go through the principles there. And then I think that will give you the gas you need to go out and find people who have answers for the problem. A single mom has the most difficult, difficult job in the world, and our hearts go out to you. So let's start with the connection piece.
And if you're having trouble making money, the more people you are connected to, the more likely you can discover that. So we want to get you out of your isolation and into other people. And I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Paul came to a place where he said, I count it all joy. That's a tough place to be. I mean, what a wonderful place to be, but so hard to get there. And I just hope and pray that somehow you'll see that God is using every one of these painful things to bring you closer to Him and to grow your character and to build your strength. That's what I pray for you, and I pray for some kind of breakthrough in all of that as soon as possible. All right, we're almost out of time. Let me mention that Every Man's Battle is in San Jose, and it's just coming up this Friday, and it's the last one of the year, and it's not too late for you to get involved. You could still sign up, and that is one life-changing experience. If you want to learn about it, go to the website and look at what was featured on KNBC here in Los Angeles. We have that. You just click on it, and you get an inside look, and also I do an interview about what it's all about. I think it might help persuade you, hey, this is something that could help someone that I love. Most of the phone calls that we get are from people that are married to or dating or something like that. Usually the person doesn't call. It's someone around them who cares enough to make that phone call. Well, it's the end of the month, and I hope and pray that you are a giver, that you've crossed over that line into that generous faith. And if you haven't, let me challenge you. If you've never given to this ministry, help us finish this month strong. And you can still do it. It'll count for November if your check is dated November the 30th. Please help us to be here all through next year and not have to go through the battles that we had to this year. And I just hope and pray that somehow you will be able to support us and give to us. You can do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or by going to newlife.com. We really need your help, especially those who've never, ever supported us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, John. Thanks to all of you who listen. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.